Hey, you want that to go?
And now for some quick takeouts on stories we think you should be on top of this week. Let's start with business. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times, down in Washington. Good morning, Louise.
Morning, John.
So we've known all along that Google is big, but how big is Google, and when does it become big enough to be an actual economic indicator, like the future of advertising and employment in newspapers and the rest of the media?
John, I think we're there.
Really?
I think that Google is an economic indicator of its own right. And the reason is they have such a broad base of advertisers. And, you know, these advertisers are everyone from Procter & Gamble to car companies like GM to Pepsi to computer, you know, business-to-business computer systems from Cisco or something. And so since they're looking at all of those industries as customers, whether or not those industries have the fat in their wallet to put towards advertising tells us a lot about the economy and what lots of different types of companies are thinking.
And the $6 billion in revenue from Google's earnings announcement comes from advertisers who open their checkbooks to write huge advertising checks, and also really small businesses that
ads. And that's one of the problems with a lot of our economic indicators is we've got some indices that just measure small businesses and some that measure big businesses. But Google really has the full spectrum. I mean, one of the things this makes me wonder, though, is, you know, as Google sees its ad sales improve, will we see that across the entire media? You know, will we see some of these same advertisers go over to Condé Nast, where, you know, on the show we've talked about the cutbacks there at that magazine company, or will they stick to search engine marketing on Google?
Or is Google, in fact, cannibalizing those businesses as well, which is another sort of story. In the tech sector, IBM reported positively this week, but that's not necessarily good news either for the sector or for IBM.
So IBM did have a positive profit. Some analysts were concerned at some of the future orders that were buried in those results and what those meant. But when you look across a lot of companies in the tech sector, when you look at Intel and Dell and Cisco, a lot of them are pretty optimistic right now. Some people are even talking about a technology-led recovery. And the thing that I like to think about is how much are companies investing in new computer systems? Because, you know, you don't upgrade a computer system unless you're really getting back to business. And that's what the economy needs, is people to get back to business.
Interesting indicators in the tech sector, possibly a harbinger for the entire economy. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times. Thanks for that takeout.
And now let's look at some indicators in sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So NFL weekend, it's a big weekend for football.
It is a big weekend. The NFL is basically broken into two camps. There's the haves and the have-nots. There's some teams that are doing extremely well, and there's other teams that are horrendous. So what you have this week is two the marquee matchup is the Giants, who are 5-0, against the Saints, who are 4-0.
Also undefeated, yeah.
Correct. So this is the main matchup. There's another matchup with the Ravens, who are 3-2, against the Minnesota Vikings, who are 5-0. And then there's another matchup I want to tell you about. But let's go to the Giants first real quick. The Giants are going down to New Orleans. They haven't won there. Their last win there was in 1993.
Really?
At the Superdome. The interesting thing here is that the New Orleans Saints, this high-powered offense with Reggie Bush, Mike Bell, Pierre Thomas, they get 166 yards rushing a game. They're an incredibly effective rushing game, and they also have the Boy Scout Drew Brees backing them up throwing the ball. They're in a
shorty, 6'1" shorty, right?
Yeah, shorty, exactly. So they're a really dangerous team. What they're going to be able to do is exploit the Giants' weakness in the secondary. The Giants have some injuries in the secondary, so it's going to be a really interesting game to see on a tactical level how the coaches sort of rearrange things to make up for that weakness.
And what about the Ravens and the Vikings?
So the Ravens, this is a great game too, because the Ravens are coming off, for the first time in 39 games, they had a 39-game streak of opposing runner having more than 100 yards against them.
Wow.
So last week, that happened, so now they're going to start a new streak. So I think there's a little salivating anger that the Ravens have.
Anger.
Exactly. Well, so, Brett Favre, you know, he's the real deal.
And Brett Favre is, exactly. So Brett Favre has been dangerous this year. He has the highest quarterback rating in the league. He's, you know, 40 years old, and he's playing like he's 20 years old. So that should be an awesome game. And then finally, the last game is the Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals should be undefeated. They're not. But the Texans could get an upset here. So if you're looking for upset games, this might be the one.
Okay, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning.
And now, last takeout for your movie info, thinking about your activities for the weekend. Newsday film critic Rafer Guzman joins us. First of all, it seems that the rule that low res makes for big bucks at the box office is what the movie Paranormal, which finally opens, Paranormal Activity, finally opens this weekend, is all about.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the film was supposedly made for about $11,000, and already it's made, I think, $9 million in grosses. So it's
a badly shot horror movie about one person's house, right?
About two people's house, technically. It's basically, not a lot happens. There's basically two people living in a suburban San Diego house, which belongs to the filmmaker, by the way.
And it's even lower res than Blair Witch,
right? Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, yes. It's basically all shot on a single video camera, and it's just basically stuff that goes bump in the night. And
it works.
And I actually thought it was pretty ingenious and pretty fun.
All right, there's a local film here in New York, at least for all of us here who are based in New York. New York, I Love You, that opens this weekend. It has a semi-limited release. What do you think of that?
I thought it was a pretty terrible film. It's basically every actor you could think of. It's Hayden Christensen, Robin Wright Penn, Orlando Bloom, Christina Ricci. I could go on forever. And they're basically all standing outside of bars in New York smoking and saying pretentious things to each other for 100 or so minutes.
I mean, Woody Allen covered this ground eons ago in Manhattan,
yeah,
and all of his like New York I Love You movies.
I don't
want to
see that for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, Where the Wild Things Are. That's the big blockbuster that comes out. We've seen the ads for it. We've actually talked about it in this program before.
Right.
What do you make of that?
I think there's some really good aspects to the film. I think the opening sequences really capture this kind of childhood anger very well, just like the book does. I think the film gets a little bogged down in trying to sort of capture all the emotional pain and hurt and rage, and eventually it becomes a little bit of a one-note film.
Touch
to me.
Too many buttons in your own life there,
yeah,
Rafer? Is that
maybe
the problem? You're not
maybe
in touch with your inner child? Maybe would that be the problem? What if a kid goes to this movie and loves it? Do they need to go to their psychiatrist immediately?
I don't think so. I mean,
grief,
who knows?
John.
The movie could do very well.
I'm trying to help it. My kids love Corpse Bride, too. My kids were
critics are. We're all frustrated and angry.
All right. So the movies Paranormal Activity, New York I Love You, and Where the Wild Things Are, all on the Rafer meter.
But only
this
one
morning.
Thumbs up there.
Yeah, that's right. Only one thumbs up for Paranormal Activity. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. There are your takeouts this morning.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.